Today, we are going to be going over the third commandment. Last week, we went over the second commandment, which I summarized as be gods. So in short, when you say God's name, do it reverently. Don't treat it as a commonplace thing like dirt. And when you claim to be Christian, don't just have it be a claim, but also show it by your actions. So today is the third commandment. What is the third commandment that we all have come to memorize? Okay, you can be loud. Pretend I'm deaf.
Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy.
Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So I think that's easy enough. I mean, all we have to do is just go to church, right? That's how we keep it holy. I'm hearing pushback. Well, it's funny because how the Sabbath day began and how it is now are two separate things. We've seen this throughout tradition where things change as things go on. The Jewish tradition for the Sabbath day is to not do anything. You don't push a button because that creates a spark. You don't open anything. You do nothing. Which I'm sure some of us, that would be great. You just get to lie in bed for 24 hours, stare at the ceiling, do absolutely nothing. Yeah. Heather would like that, but, you know, work. But the American tradition is quite the opposite. Our Sundays are just another day we pick up another shift. Hopefully it gets us overtime when we start working on Friday because we work all week. New York City has the reputation of being the city that never sleeps. And the UPS used to have a slogan that was, we work 7 days a week because the U.S. works 7 days a week. But if we're supposed to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, then we can't work 7 days a week. So how do we get from the Sabbath day being a day where we don't work to it is a day where we have to go to church? I have to go to the Bible study, and then I have to go to the fellowship hour afterwards. Yeah, the Sabbath day has also changed too. In Jewish tradition, it was Saturday, but now it's Sunday. That one's kind of easy. We switched it to Sunday because that's the day that Jesus rose. Our Sabbath day became holy because we honor Jesus rising from the dead. But that still doesn't explain how we went from don't work to then only worship. I think we have to look at the two components of what the Sabbath is, which are worship and rest. So before I go on any farther, open up your Bibles to Deuteronomy 5. We're going to look at the fifth commandment and what it says, so that way we're not all on different pages. We're going to be in Deuteronomy 5, starting at verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your maidservant or manservant, nor your ox or donkey or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. If we look at the small catechism, Luther explains this commandment as being, we should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. That's a little different than what the word Sabbath means, which we've come to mean rest or maybe worship, but the word itself means to stop. A Sabbath day is a stop day. It's a day where you stop. Yet we've turned that into a day of worship. And I think that is right, because when we worship, we contemplate on God. We take his word and we study it, we sing it, we talk about it. We worship by contemplating on God's word. And we all worship differently. Some people really like music. I know that how I worship is I get lost in the music that we play. I really loved the first song that we did today, and I kind of forgot I was preaching. But I know Pastor really gets into the word by hearing sermons and understanding that. And I know Some of you really love to read the word and then pray it. And these are all different ways that we worship, and all are equally valid. Because we don't all worship the same, and that's why God has us all. The body of Christ is made of different parts, and one of the benefits is that I might not find it very beneficial studying for a sermon, but that doesn't mean that what I say isn't beneficial for you. So when we do all this worship, we don't do it just individually. Yes, I've talked about we should pray. Yes, I've talked about studying the word. But we also spend Sundays coming together as a family. Because as Christians, we're not called as an individual person, but we're called into a family. We're called into God's family. And last I checked, my mom always made me do forced family fun night. Not forced single person night, where I had to come together as a family and have to participate with them all. But that's because we're a family. And Sunday is that time that we've decided that we come together as a family. Yet, sometimes it's really easy to go, you know what? I'm just going to be off on my own. I have talked to you guys a little too much, and you know, I just need to be on my own. And maybe one time, that's good. But then if you do that again, and again, and again, well, then you're not part of a family. You've said, oh, I'm better than you guys. I don't want to be a part of you. Yet, as Christians, we're called into a family. And I'll have to admit, I've done this. Last Easter, I decided that, you know what? I'm going on vacation. I get a rest. I don't have to do anything at all because it's a rest. It's a break. I'm going to be free. So my mom flew in from Napa, my sister drove down from Lincoln, and I drove over from St. Louis, and we all met in Kansas City, Missouri. I know, a very hot vacation place. And we were all there in Embassy Suites, we were having fun, it was Easter, so we were wearing bright colors, yada, yada, yada. And then Saturday night, my mom went, let's go to church. And my first thought was, why? Not, yes, let's go to church, it's, why? I'm on break. Let me rest. But she kept pushing back, as all good mothers do. And eventually, I found a church in Overland Park. And begrudgingly, I woke up at 8 o'clock to go to their service because traffic is oh so fun. And I'll have to admit, the sermon was, the theme was shake, rattle, and roll. It was the first rock song that ever came out. And I, ooh. You're going to have to fact check me, but I think it was like 1950 or 1949. And the whole idea was that this song was about shaking, rattling, and rolling. And that's exactly what God did. He shook the stone, he rattled it, and then he rolled it away so that Jesus can be shown to the world that the tomb is not empty. And I'll have to say, I was shaken, rattled, and rolled. Because that sermon hit me on a level I never expected. And it definitely convicted me because I went, I don't need to be a part of the body. I'm good on my own. I'm studying to be a pastor. I don't have to go to worship. I know everything that's a part of it. But I was shown that worship, while even by yourself, is still important to do together. Because when you're alone, sometimes you get those thoughts that just compound and you overthink and then you get anxious and then you get depressed. And sometimes just having someone else there to tell you, you're wrong, it's not that bad, it's just a broken table, we can buy a new one, is what you need to hear rather than going, well, the whole house is ruined now because the table's broken. But it's being a part of that corporate worship where everyone is together that you see all the aspects of God. And that's why when we worship and we contemplate on God's word, we need to do it as a family. Because the aspect that I bring into this will be different than the aspect that Louise brings into this, or that Bruce brings into this, or that Heather brings into this. And that's a good thing. That's why when we worship together, we worship together. Yes, we have different elements where we can worship. We have the women's study on Tuesdays. We sometimes have Bible studies on Wednesday. We have church, obviously, on Sundays. And we even have it online, too, in case you decide that the morning is too rough and you still want to see the worship. There is still a way that you can see it later. But sometimes we get caught up in that, oh, I have to go to worship. I have to do all this. Sunday becomes a checklist item rather than a thing you get to go to. And that's when we take our religion and turn it into work. Instead of hearing the blessings that God gives us, we turn it into this thing that we're obligated to do. So then Sunday isn't a day of rest. It's not a great day of worship. It's all of a sudden another day of work. And as you know, I work on Sundays. This is my work day. I would say this is my most important work day of the whole week. I take my Sabbath, therefore, on Fridays. I know that Heather and Pastor take their Sabbath days on Monday. Paul writes that one man holds one day holy, yet another man holds another day holy. And I'll have to say, that is okay. Because the Sabbath day, as we just heard, isn't, oh, you have to rest on Saturdays. In fact, in the creation story, which is what Exodus talks about, why you have to rest on the seventh day, doesn't even say a specific day. It just says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You should rest because the Lord your God created the world in six days and rested on the seventh. Therefore, you shall rest on the seventh. So when I do my rest, well, for some, it might be going out exercising. I know that's for me. Others, it might be taking that 12-hour nap you've always dreamed of doing. And for others, like Heather, it might be going and talking to everyone. But how we rest is also just as important as how we worship, because we all do it differently. But the most important fact about resting, about honoring a Sabbath day, is stopping. And when we stop, that gets hard. Because, like I just said, our culture is work, 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 work. I know that when I was working, not as a vicar, my thought was, oh, I can pick up another shift. I don't have anything this weekend. I can just go work some more. Because I'm scared what I'm going to eat. Some of us might be scared if we can even pay our rents. Or some of us might be thinking to the future, oh, I have to work more now so that my retirement can be better. Oh, I have to work more now so that I can have more money for my vacation. We're so focused on pushing ourselves to the limit that sooner or later we're going to break, we're going to crash, and we're going to burn. But more than once, God tells us, take a rest. Stop. It's okay. Don't worry. And the last I checked, saying don't worry are the two magical words that will make you start any fight. We have an excellent example, pretty much, of this happening. If you'll turn your Bibles to Luke 10. Luke 10, verse 38. Ooh, I hear someone talking. Luke 10, verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." We get so caught up in having to constantly work all the time that the Lord tells us, Justin, rest. There are many things that happen, but don't worry. And that is a hard lesson to learn, because I do worry. What happens next? What happens after this? Do I have plans? Am I going to have plans? What about tomorrow? Will I be able to make it to work on time? Will I be able to make it to work? What do I have to do at work? Oh, what about Tuesday? Do I have plans after work? What am I going to do during work? And so on and so on and so on. Yet in this story, we have Martha and Mary. And I can really relate to Martha. Oh, shoot, we have guests. Oh, no, I got to prepare everything. Oh, there's a mess. I got to clean it. Oh, we're having dinner? Okay, I got to make food. I got to go do that now. But I get caught up in everything that I invite them over on Sunday. And Sunday is when we worship. I just invited church friends to go have lunch. Yet what I'm more concerned about is my house clean enough? Oh, is everything in the right place? Oh, is the food going to taste good? That I get lost in the fact that we're showing what God is like. When we say we're Christian, we have to be Christians, not just say it. And yet, if I invite someone over, I get concerned about all these earthly things instead of showing the love that I have for them. I get worried about what's next. What are we doing next? And Jesus, in oh so many great words, tells me on the Sermon on the Mount exactly what to do. If you'll open your Bibles to Matthew 6, we're going to hear Jesus say, "Trust him, don't worry." Matthew 6, verse 24. Matthew 6, starting at verse 24. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is life not more important than food? Is the body not more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See the lilies on the field? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how the Lord clothes the grass of the fields, which are here today and tomorrow is thrown into a fire, will he not clothe you more? O you of little faith, so do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough of its own troubles. Are you not more valuable than grass, more valuable than flowers? Are you not more valuable than a dog or a bird or a panda? God did not create each of those in its own image, yet he created you in his own image. And when we're born, we're not born alone. We don't hatch out of an egg to no one that we know. We're instead born into a family who provide for us for many years, and even after that, still give us the love that we need. They still provide for us even when we don't ask for it. Our Heavenly Father does Our Heavenly Father provides for us and cares for us. He takes care of our needs, gives us clothes to wear, people to love, food, and a place to sleep. So when we take that Sabbath day, we're told not to worry, but to rest. Because the Lord knows us better than anyone. He made us. And even if that isn't enough, he came and lived like us when the Son became incarnate. Yet I still worry about what's happening tomorrow. I still worry about what's happening today. I don't think about taking a rest until I get sick, or my throat gives out, or I have to take a vacation because my boss tells me, "You've worked too much, rest." Yet Jesus still rested. After the Sermon on the Mount, we see him go onto a boat and then fall asleep. We see him many times go up to some random mountain and then start praying, separating himself from the world to rest. So the perfect example we have of how to do a Sabbath isn't that every Sunday you must go to church. We go to church because it's not for our own personal gain. Most of us don't go to church because it makes us money. I'll admit I am a hypocrite in that one. But I'm doing this not because it makes me a lot of money, but because I'm spreading God's word. I love God, so I decided to dedicate all of my waking hours to him by being a pastor. Heather has done that by being a deaconess. You might do that by being a construction worker, by being an accountant, by being a teacher, but you're still dedicating your life to God. And if you go 7 days a week, 365 days a year, for however many years, you're eventually going to burn out. So when God tells us to take a Sabbath day and make it holy, it's not, oh, you have to do all these things in order to honor me. It's, you honor me by resting. Please rest, because I know if you go too long, you will push yourself too far, and then you will crash and you will burn. With that, please pray with me. Dear Lord, I thank you for the examples you have given me of how to live my life. And I pray that with all those examples, I honor you by taking my day of rest. I pray that when I worship you, I honor you in all that I say and do. And I ask this all in your name. Amen.
Hopefully this is a time for you that you've been able to rest and enjoy. I have a hard time. I think a lot of you do. I think I've threatened to write a book, The Seven Acceptable Sins of the Church, and one of them is busyness. And we get so wrapped up in doing and going constantly that we don't even stop to enjoy and be with God. So today is a day that we get to do that, and one of the great ways we get to do that is through communion. It is a time where we get a chance to just simply be in the presence of God, and he has promised his presence here in this wonderful gift of bread and wine, which is also his body and his blood.